Tomorrow night will have been in the Song of Solomon, and it's Pharaoh's horses. Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. Here we have in the 9th verse of chapter 1 of the Song of Solomon, I have compared thee, my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot. I was in the Great Museum in Cairo, Egypt, many years ago, and some of the ancient chariots, and some I believe they took out of the young king's tomb, and they're showing all of the treasuries, or many of them now, from King Tut's tomb around over America right now. I have pictures of the gold casket they put that boy in. I think it weighed 1,800 or 2,200 pounds, solid gold, yea thick. And they took him and put him in another one, and then in a great vault and covered with gold, and they telescoped that vault into another one, covered with gold. They telescoped that into another one, locked it, and the third one is almost as large as an American garage. But the thing, as we looked at all of these things and remembered that they had been in that cave all these thousands of years, 3,000, between 3,000 and 4,000, at least 3,000 years, I believe, wreaths of flowers they'd brought out, just brown, like they'd been on a grave out here maybe 3 or 4 days, seeds that would germinate and produce right now, that were brought out of that tomb, and so many interesting things in the museum in Cairo. But one thing interested me above all of this was this beautiful ancient chariot. This might have been a state chariot, I don't know, but I drew a picture from this because the Bible says that when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, Pharaoh pursued them with 600 chariots of war. Now remember, they did not have tanks, dive bombers, and rockets and rocket launchers. All they had was a chariot and a man in it with his spear and swords, and that was it. Now the Bible says that Pharaoh brought into action all the chariots of Egypt. Every chariot of war that he had to make war, he gave command, and they were in the lineup pursuing the children of Israel to the Red Sea. At this point, God performed a miracle. I want to lay something to rest right here forever with you, and that some of these preachers who are preaching nowadays that God doesn't perform miracles anymore. He only performed miracles to confirm the word, you know, and establish the early church. Let me tell you this. God never has to perform a miracle to prove himself. He performed every miracle he ever performed in the interest of people. He opened the Red Sea because they had to have a miracle. They were there being pursued by Pharaoh, and God opened the Red Sea. He divided the River Jordan because his children needed to get across. He healed the blind man because the man was blind and wanted to see. He multiplied the loaves and fishes, friends, because the people were hungry and not to prove anything. That argument is weak as water. He doesn't have to prove anything. If you don't want to believe his Bible, even Jesus Christ, you can go to hell. We don't have to prove anything. I'm glad I believe it all. But I want you to get the picture. Pharaoh brought into play every chariot he had. He did not spare one. He was so anxious as a tool of the devil. He was so anxious to pursue and overtake the children of Israel and destroy them. He was ready to employ everything he had at his disposal to do it. If Pharaoh would do that to destroy God's people, what should we invest? Hallelujah! We ought to put it all into action, friends. Amen. The church. Let me say, when he compared the church to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot, he did not compare the church to a mule. Now, a mule will never expend all of his energy. You may think he will, but he won't. But a horse will pull until he just drops. But that old stubborn mule will never expend all of his energy. And I'll tell you another thing about a mule. You can put gold braid on him and tassels and all of the fine machinery, saddles, and all of these things. I used to pastor in Fort Worth, and of course Wichita Falls and all over in Texas. They have these rodeo parades down the streets, and all these beautiful Palomino horses, these beautiful horses, how they prance and dance, and people ooh and ah, and here'll come an old long-eared mule down the street, nobody says anything. You can put everything on him, but he's just still a stubborn old long-eared mule. I'll have you know, God likened his church to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot. Notice I said company. That means this is not a one-horse affair. A lot of folks think it is, and they think they're the horse. Amen. But this is a great company, thank God. Now, these horses were beautiful in the first place. You know, every time I receive people in our church to become members, I tell them this. Now, you're not coming into a church that's perfect. In this church, here's a group of people that meet several times a week, imperfect people with faults, working on them, working on ourselves, growing in grace, seeking God, trying to become a little more like Jesus. And we're going to add to your strength, and you're going to add to ours. I admit tonight, friends, there are some things in the church, and there will always be. But I want to tell you now that the church is the most beautiful organization or organism that there is in the world tonight. With all of our faults, with our humanness, with our weaknesses, this is the greatest place on earth, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only were these horses beautiful, why, God love you. I've seen in my meetings in the past 48 years, I've been in places, some dear old sister stand up, or brother, maybe with one tooth right there. You know what I mean? No beauty, but there's just such a smile and such a joy and such a testimony, you wouldn't even notice that they had any teeth or didn't have. Why? You saw the beauty of the Lord. That's the thing. God takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. You're a beautiful bunch to me tonight, whether you like it or not. I love you. With all your faults and your failures, you're God's children tonight, and I love you. You're beautiful to me. Hallelujah. Not only were these horses beautiful, but they were thoroughbred. There wasn't a muckledy done mixed breed up to one of those chariots. You know, sermonettes make Christianettes. Some of this little tiddlywink, soft-soaked preaching we're getting today is filling the church with unsaved people. We need some thoroughbreds. One day I picked up the dictionary as I was building this sermon, and I looked up that word thoroughbred, And it said, born of pure blood, unmixed. I like that. That isn't all it said. It said, thoroughbred, unmixed, pure blood, pure born, thus high-spirited. I said, that's us. Woo! Ah! Yes! Some of these folks say, you folks get a little noisy. Why, God love you. Some of these old dead church members that a bunch of our poor old preachers are trying to pastor, they have to spur them and spur them and spur them. They're bleeding all over to get them to say amen. You get amongst a bunch of thoroughbred, and I want to tell you, brother, give them a little rain, and they're gone. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. You don't have to spur God's people anytime you got to get up in church and plead and plead and plead and plead for folks to rejoice. They're backslid. I didn't say they're about to. They're backslid. Hallelujah. Is that something about a thoroughbred? And I see so many of them down in Texas. One day I dropped into an auction sale with a preacher friend of mine where I was in meetings. He had to stop there, and I went in with him. And they were auctioning off these white-faced cattle and yearlings. Well, they'd run them out down that chute into this big ring. And boy, the bids would start up. That old white-faced yearling, when he'd come down that chute, he'd run around that circle, that ring, and stop, shake his tail a little bit. Man, you knew you had something out there real. And the bids would start up. I said, say, this is quite a lucrative thing. And I just stood there and watched a few minutes. And it wasn't long till a little old yearling, I don't know how many different, but he was a mixed breed. He was kind of brindle, spotted, streaked, and they pushed him out. Just pushed him out. And somebody said, $3. So help me God. At that point I said, God, that's just what they're worth around our church. They're worth about $3 a piece. Huh? But tell me, folks that are born again, born again. I can't help it, because we're high spirited, we're pure blood, we're born again. Hallelujah. That'll make you high spirited. Somebody said, well, I'm saved, but I never felt a thing. Well, now somebody might have tinkered with you. Now, that's what the Baptist preacher asked the Methodist. He'd been baptized, and he said, yeah, I've been sprinkled. He said, I didn't ask you if you've been tinkered with. I asked you if you'd been baptized. You know? And a lot of folks have just been tinkered with, I think, today. And they really didn't get born again. And so you crank them and crank them and crank them and crank them and crank them. But a thoroughbred, brother, I've watched those things. They prance, my, they hold those reins tight. All you got to do, you don't even have to spur him. All you got to do is just give him just a little slack, and brother, he's gone. I have a preacher say, now you better watch this thing, it'll get out of hand. God love their little carnal hearts. The day God gets it out of their hands, it'll be a great day. Yeah. Yes, sir. Don't you worry about that. I've been preaching 48 years, little churches and big churches, small congregations, and tens of thousands in one congregation, and I haven't had one to run away yet. I've spent half my life trying to get these old fist-load shoulder church members, and those with saddle sores on them, trying to get them up and get them healed and get them functionable again. Every member in my church is active. Everyone. Some act one way and some another. But they're all active. Yes, sir. But we need some thoroughbreds. Glory. Glory. Well, I feel good tonight. Yes, sir. Thoroughbred. But I said, your people are so peculiar. I said, boy, y'all get to singing and you get it worked up. No, it's already there. We don't have to work up anything. We're just thoroughbred. We got born again instead of joining the church. A lot of difference in joining the church, brother. And being saved, there's a lot of difference in whitewashed and washed white. Yeah. A lot of folks get a little whitewash job and they think they got saved. They didn't get saved, they just got tinkered with, eased their conscience a little bit, and that's the reason they can only stand to go to church once a week. That's all they can take. Not only were these horses thoroughbred, but they were well trained. Now get your holds. I don't believe I ever started a revival in my life in the church where I pastored the churches. If somebody didn't say, well, we're going to be painting our house next week. And then said, you know, we planned our vacation this week. How untrained we are. How undisciplined. So I've gotten away. Lately when I announced revival, I said, now about 14 of you go and buy 5 gallons of paint. Start painting on your house so we can make excuses for empty pews. Ah, oh, this will stick with you, brother, when snow's knee-deep to giraffe, if you listen. We need some training, brother. When the pastor says, let's go, we ought to go. When he says, go, go, and if he pulls the rein and said, halt, slow down, do it. How we need to be trained. We need training. If there's anything going on in the church, whatever project the preacher announces, everybody ought to get behind it and say, this is our program. This is God's cause. Everything else can wait. That's right. Training. I was in a church one time. I'd been there about 2 weeks. Pastor nudged me and said, that's one of our deacons coming in there tonight. Says the first time he's been to the meeting. So any more in my revivals, I tell the church to watch and see if the deacons are in attendance in the revival. If they're not, vote them out in the next meeting. Watch those Sunday school teachers, and if they're not in a revival, relieve them of their job. They're not fit to be in a meeting, in a teaching position. You ought to be there looking for somebody who might get in your class. I'm talking about training now. When they got those horses lined up, ready to go, brother, and they fired the shot, I want you to know 49 up and didn't sit down and put their feet in the ground and say, I'm not going. No. That's the way a lot of pusillanimous nincompoops do today. That's in your dictionary now. Listen, all the training we need. You got a Bible handy there? Not only were they well trained, but they were well fed. I'm talking about Pharaoh's horses. He likened his church to a company of Pharaoh's horses. Horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Not those that stand around the stable and eat up all the food and won't work. He's talking about horses you can hook up and depend on. You know, there's not too many people now you can really hook up and depend on. Oh, they'll pull a little ways. It's like a little mare we used to have when I was a kid on the farm. She'd pull a little ways and lay down in the sandbed. See, my father nearly beat her to death trying to get her up. She balked. That's what you call it, balk. That'd be a good topic, balky Christians. Well fed. Well fed. Now, people in this church tonight can tell you every television program on, especially if it's an old soapbox opera. Women sit around like a bunch of hoot owls and cry, oh, that dumb stuff. Like a bunch of dummies. Then they're empty. They don't know why their kids don't like church. They don't know why their children don't love God. Well, they haven't seen too many around maybe that did love God. Well fed. I can get the choir at home. I tell them, I can tell when they've been feeding. Glory to God. I tell when they walk in that door where they've been feeding. They'll have a certain spring in their heels. They can't wait to get to worship. You don't have to call them Monday morning asking why they weren't in Sunday school or church. No, sir. They've been feeding with a master. They sing in the spirit. When their hands go up, thank God there's a smile and an expectancy there. Oh, we need to feed, my friends. We need to feed until we're strong soldiers, that we can go out and do our job. God can't successfully fight the battle with his church, a bunch of spiritual anemics. We've got to have strength. Where am I going to get it, preacher? You won't get it on your TV. You won't get very much of it on your radio. And you won't get it from the newspaper. You're going to get it with God's people, with an open Bible, and on your knees, in the presence of God, feeding on him.
Amen.
Well fed. Glory to God forever. Then you can get something done. I go in churches, friends, and I tell you the truth. I go in churches, people actually playing church, but what can a preacher do when he gets up here? If that congregation out there has not been with Jesus, if you haven't been with him, you remember that early church? They said, these men haven't been to seminaries yet. They're ignorant and unlearned, but we'll have to admit, we've got to take note they've been with Jesus. Your neighbors ought to know it, and your people ought to know it, if you please. God, give us a little bit of what he gave me one time. I was walking down the street, a town where I was holding a revival, down the sidewalk, and I saw a great big old whopper-jawed bulldog coming. Man, he looked big. And he was looking out like that at me, with his jaw hanging down, you know. Looked like he had about 3 tumors on either side of his neck. And he was well upholstered. He was a husky fella. And I looked at that bulldog, and I thought, he might have some design on me. And he just kept coming, and I kept walking. I slowed down a little slower. And I said, buddy, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to get off this sidewalk. He's right in the middle of it, coming right toward me. And he just kept coming. And I just kept walking toward him. He looked out, old eyes looked up at me. And I saw he meant business. I didn't know if he'd had dinner yet or not. And I want to tell you something. When I got so close to that dog, I just stepped off to one side and let him have that sidewalk. And I watched him. And I said, now, God, I don't know what that fellow's got, but I need a whole lot of it. God said, it's determination. I said, that's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of you folks need. You let a mosquito keep you out of church. Amen. You get fed up, you'll have enough strength to drive your car to church. You'll have enough strength to stand up and testify. Enough strength to lift both hands and praise God. Amen! I want to tell you another thing. There wasn't a slow horse in that bunch. They were all swift. Can you imagine Pharaoh hooking one of those horses of war to a chariot that couldn't do anything but just kind of walk? Slow pacer. No, sir, brother, they were horses of war, carefully selected. Never one of them could lay it down. Yes, sir. Swift. Somebody said, well, I'd have been to church on time, but now you just quit whipping the devil around the stump. If they had a sale on downtown, 3 pairs of hose for a dollar, you wouldn't be late. That's right. And that goes for you fellas, too. It all depends on where your heart is, my friend. David said, I was glad, I was glad, I was glad when they said, let us go to God's house. Strength and help comes from the sanctuary. This is where we get our help. And we ought to come in and run. You ever read Solomon there? Again, where she said, she cries to her lover, draw me, draw me. If you're in love, you want to be drawn. No real Christian is satisfied following miles behind. She said, draw me, singular, and then plural, we will run after thee. That's where revival starts. Some old boy getting hungry and going in there and praying through, and another lady over here praying through, and another one getting hungry, and God drawing us, and after a while, the whole church is in a dead run. We're running after him. We're running hard after him. We're following him. We need to get on the run. Oh. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back here for a minute. These horses were well disciplined. You know, I was a kid on the farm. I saw so many things. We left the farm when I was 13 years of age. And I saw so many things in growing up. I didn't know why I saw it, but God revealed to me later that he loved me to see these things so I could use it. We used to have an old mare. And I don't care, you could put her in those traces, start working, plowing, a little bit she'd throw that leg out over that trace. Go along like this, pulling like this. My father would reach over with that whip and crack her, and she'd get that leg in and just pull along so pretty. And I've seen that old mare, it'd have been much better and more comfortable, but she'd rather rub all the hair off her leg, and I've seen the sore on her leg, absolutely sore on the leg, but she just couldn't keep that leg in. She'd throw it out just to be devilish. My God, I've pastored that old man many times in the very churches I've pastored. And once in a while, I have members come up to me. I get out in revival, and I say, they'll sidle up, you know, and, well, our pastor doesn't understand me. What they're trying to show me is their old sore. You know what I think? If you'd have stayed in the traces, you wouldn't have had it. That's right. And a lot of church members, all they can do is sit around and show their sore. They've been mistreated. No. You got your leg out of the trace and rubbed the hell off your leg and got yourself a sore. I hope you enjoy it. Amen. Ah, the discipline we need. You know, Gideon's 300 stood every man in his place. I went to a church one time to pastor, and a man came up to me and he said, Pastor, I've held every office in this church. I've been kicked out of every office in this church. He said, what shall I do? I said, stay till I kick you out the door. Hallelujah. Pharaoh's horses. They're horses of war. Turn to Job 39:19. Horses of war. Now this is one that's going to get every one of us. And I want you to get it. I want you to read this. Job 39:19. How many of you have a Bible with you tonight? How many of you have a Bible somewhere around the house? How many of you ever read it? It's a good thing to keep recipes in. Job 39:19. Let's read it.
Hast thou given the horse strength?
Hast thou given the horse strength?
Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder?
Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? I want you to get this picture now. We're getting ready to go. We're all fed up, trained, and groomed. We're getting ready for the revival.
Yeah.
We're going to bow our necks. So the horse, he's standing there now. Yes, sir, he's got his neck bowed. Now, I've seen him do it, and you have too. Just stand there like that. Just chewing the bits. Let's read. What did he say about that horse?
Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper?
Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper?
The glory of his nostrils is terrible.
The glory of his nostrils is terrible. That means he's down here snorting, ready to go.
Yeah.
Whoop! I'd like to pastor one church where every member gets snorting at the same time. Let's have a revival. Let's have a revival. Hallelujah. Now they don't snort about much of anything. All right, he does what now? Let's read on there, sir.
He paweth in the valley.
Now, wait a minute. We got him hooked up. All groomed, well fed, well trained, and he's standing there, a thoroughbred, and he's just pawing the dirt. Oh, waiting for the signal. Pawing the dirt in the valley. He's anxious to go.
Huh.
I had a lot of folks pawing other people. I want you to get this picture. This is in your Bible. It's in the Baptist Bible, Presbyterian Bible, Pentecostal Bible. Paul's in the valley. Down in the valley. That's where the big battles are fought. He's pawing in the valley now. Just kicking the dirt. What's he wanting to do, Pastor?
He rejoices in his strength.
I see your muscle tonight. I was in a camp meeting in Northern California a few years ago, and they've been having a big revival in one of the churches. And the pastor thought it should go on the third week. But one of the deacons said, "We're just not able." That deacon ought to be out carrying in wood and water. He's not a deacon. He just got him a name somewhere and got misplaced. Why, brother, there's no such thing as can't. I thank God for this church, and I'm glad God put it in your system to build it. I'll guarantee you, you will pay for it. Yes, sir, we were getting ready to build that big church in Wichita Falls. I had a fellow around there. He said, "Why, we're going to be 200 or 300. How about a church that's a credit to anybody's city? And you ask anybody where Evangel Temple is, and everybody in the city can tell you it's not back on the back street. It's right out where they've got to see it. I said, "What if we do, oh? God will take care of it." I gave the folks a report the other day, and $1 million church, oh, $130,000, and over $50,000 in the bank cash. Hallelujah! And sailing on. We never have to take the second offering. Our ladies didn't have to bake pies and donuts to pay for it either.
Yeah.
I want to tell you folks something here tonight. Bunch of our sweet little old women around our churches killing themselves working. When if all these scalawags would pay up their tithe and honor God with a tithe, God's cause would be met. You may not want me to come back down here, but I'm going to do you up while I'm here. Yes, sir. I preach to my church, if the kingdom of God, if all the people will pay their tithe and give in offerings, we'll not have to ask the world for a thing. We won't have to have a rummage sale. It may not be a sin, but we won't have to do it.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, sir. I never take the second offering for nothing in our church. The tithing's increased from the day we opened the doors. Thanks be to God forever. We got a big payroll for all the staff. But God meets every need. I want you to know, friends, the church needs to get this business of fear out of our hearts. Yes, sir, that horse has got to be fearless. And the pastor must be fearless. And if you've got a man on the deacon board that's got fear in his heart, he ought to either be prayed for, resign, or fired. That's right. Did you hear me? One pastor's church had grown and grown, and he needed Sunday school rooms. And he was crying to me. Church filled, they needed rooms. But one of the deacons said, "We're not able." I said, "For God's sake, I just tell my people, get in, get out, or get run over. And hang on or fall behind. We'll drag you to death. We're going. We're going. Get on out here and get it done." God told Moses to take that rod and go before the people, and he never told the people to lead Moses. God just had one Moses, and he said, "If you'll lead him, I'll be with you." Thank God. And he told Joshua the same thing. Say amen for that. I know that's bone chilling to a lot of folks that's never heard it.
Yeah.
But when you thaw out, you'll feel good.
Glory.
These little old peewees around the church, like those ugly spies that came back, all they can see is big old giants. And we're little grasshoppers.
Yeah.
We may be, but brother, I can jump right up and get in the air. Yeah. Can you make him afraid? No, he's not afraid. I want you to read that statement again, and we're going to move on quickly. Read that again.
He paweth in the valley.
He paweth in the valley.
And rejoiceth
and rejoiceth in his strength.
He goeth on to meet the armed man.
What?
He goeth on to meet the armed man.
Somebody said we'll suffer. Sure, there's a devil out there. He's armed. Our enemies are armed. But we're not going to stop because we've got opposition. We know it's out there. We know there's going to be a battle, but we're going on to meet it. He goes on to meet the armed man.
Yes.
Show me a church, a group of people, a dozen or many, who will say, by the grace of God, we'll take the land, we'll conquer for him, and be perfect. Live fearless. I can assure you, my friend, God will always meet the needs. Don't you forget it. I hope I can encourage you. If the devil's had you buffaloed, you know there's a lot of people. They are so, some of them are almost miserly. And I've had them come in the church and they think you can run the church just like they do their little miserly house. You can't do it that way. Why, of course not. We got to have more Jews here than you Jews over at your house. Got to have more air conditioning. We got to have it. But all we got to do is just tithe and all the needs will be met. That's right.
I believe it.
That's right. Remember, I tell the people in our church, if they're not tithing, start now. At the end of the year, if God hasn't repaid for your tithing, tell the treasurer and I'll have him give you a check for everything you put in this year. They like that. I know when they start, they're going to get so blessed.
Good.
That's how I believe the Bible. If that isn't valid in Malachi, John 3:16, isn't it? He said, if we bring the tithe, and I told the folks the other morning, I said, now as you bring your tithe, wait a minute, hold steady, look up, now the windows are moving open. Hey, man, as you put them in, look up, God told us he's going to give us something right now. I had a preacher in my church one time. The folks started bringing the tithing and just shouting and rejoicing. And Clyde C. Gorey, you might have known him. His son's a great preacher now. Clyde Gorey said, I never saw this in my life. People come and bringing their tithe and just shouting. I said, that's the way it's supposed to be. This time they're supposed to get their blessing. Anytime you drop your head when the offering bag comes by, you need to be saved. You don't love God. If you don't love him enough, do you have one-tenth to get somebody else saved? Quit getting up and making a show of it. You don't love him. You've just been kidding yourself. Folks, I just love the Lord with all my heart. But you touch a dime and they have a fit. They don't really love him. They don't really love him. They just thought they did. Now, I'm going to make some of you folks a little mad at me. Now, it's been so long since I made anybody mad. I'm doing my best. Because they'll give the revival a lot of advertising and some folks never pray through to get mad. And then I go home and read it in the Bible. I don't go out to make people mad, but I want to tell you folks, our services used to do one of two things. We'd either make people mad or glad.
Yeah.
But you get in churches today, now they don't make people mad or glad. Brother, that's a monstrosity. That's right. My family tithes, I tithe, and that isn't all. We give more and more, and the more we give, the more God gives to us. He never fails. Get rid of your fear quickly, and I'll wind this down. He goes on to meet the armed forces, and is what?
He mocketh at fear.
He mocks at fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torments. He'll give you ulcers. But I dare you to get ulcers while you're shouting. I dare you to step outside that door tonight shouting and have a nervous breakdown. I dare you to do it. You can have a nervous breakdown while you're happy. You don't even get ulcers. You get ulcers and all these things cause you worry. I tell the folks at home, I'd rather give ulcers than to get them. Hey, man, read on.
Neither turneth he back from the sword.
He knows the sword's out there, but he doesn't turn back from it. He doesn't turn back from it. He goes on. Read just a little more.
Quiver rattleth against him.
The glittering spear and the shield. He's hooked up.
He swalloweth the ground with fierceness.
Oh, wait a minute. He swalloweth the ground. Nobody's dragging him. Did you ever see a greyhound run? I've seen him run. We used to run when I was a boy on the farm. And I had some little short-legged dogs, and they jump a rabbit, and they... You'd think he's going to get the rabbit. All he's doing is jumping up and down. Not making much progress. But you watch that old greyhound. He'll reach up there and get about 10 feet, pull it right back under him. So easy. He's swallowing the ground. David says, he's enlarged my steps. He's not dragging his feet, he's swallowing it. Bless God, he's taking territory. I like that. I'm talking about Pharaoh's horses, and God said he'd likened his church to a company of them. Swallows the ground and just mocks at fear. Read again there, and I'm through.
Neither believeth he that is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off.
He didn't lose the victory when he saw the spear and the sword. He said, ha, 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 this is a chance to level off with him now. Whoopee! This is the opportunity now to win the victory. There's the sword. Somebody said, aren't you afraid? Ha, ha, what up?
Yeah.
He looks back and he said, ha, ha. That's giving him the horse laugh. Hallelujah. Yeah. I just don't understand that. It sure feels good when you learn. Get in the battle and hook up. Say, Pastor, you can depend on me. I like members to come around and say, Pastor, what can I do? Anywhere, anything you say. What? I want to work. I want to do something. Let's get on with this battle. On with the battle. I've compared you, my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot. Yeah. I want to conclude, friend, with this one thought. These horses were purchased at a great price. They were the best. We were purchased at a great price. The precious blood that flowed from Calvary that day on that hill. The blood.
Hallelujah.
We can't afford to fail. We can't afford to fail him. I'm down here using energy that I don't have, really. But I'm enjoying trying. Trying to be a blessing, stir the church, encourage God's people. The battle is on. Let's be faithful. He loves us tonight. He's done so much for us. Well, I've gone over my time a little. It's 9:05. And I see several of you looking at your watch. I can take the hint. Thank you for being so gracious. I remember the fellow that laid his watch out, and his little boy nudged him and said, Daddy, what does that mean? And Pastor laid his watch out. He said, really doesn't mean a thing. But it's 9:05. Have I preached too long?
No.
Anybody need a cup of coffee or something to revive you? Won't be any served up around here. I tell the folks at home, this is all you're going to get now. We won't open the kitchen after service, so you better get it right in here. Here's where we get our refreshment. Thank God. Sounds from heaven. Stand up and lift your hands and tell him you love him tonight. Think of what he's trusted us with and how he loves us tonight. And he wants us to have his best. Father, we love you tonight. Oh, we love you tonight. We love you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we sing the chorus, blessed be the name of the Lord? You know that? It's an old one. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and I've even forgotten what key it's in. You know it? Well, we got to learn that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Where's the boy with his junior? Where are you? We need you. And I tell my folks at home, Jerry disappears, and all of his life he could do that. And I turned around a while back, and all of a sudden Jerry was gone. And I just hollered as loud as I could, Jerry, we need you. And there he was then. There he is right there. Glory. Let's play Blessed Be the Name. Where do you play that? Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. I tell you what I'm going to do here. I feel disposed to do this. I want us to have the biggest love feast we've had. Tomorrow night, I'll make the call just like I preached the sermon. You'll see families weeping together tomorrow night perhaps you've never seen. Tonight we're going to have a big love feast, a big fellowship meeting. You might want to go over and take somebody's hand and have a little prayer meeting. You might have a burden you want to share with somebody over there. Say, brother, I believe you're the one to pray with me. Your sisters greet your sisters, and you brethren greet your brothers. And pray and fellowship. Come on, right now. I'd just like to see huddles all over this building tonight. Have a little problem? You wouldn't share it with just one person. Somebody you have much confidence in tonight, you just know they would understand. Go to them and say, pray for me. Two are better than one. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Come on. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be that name. Do what I told you. Fellowships. Fellowship. Get out and shake hands with the visitors. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be. Fellowship now. It'll do you good. These are friendly people. Well, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, Jesus is his name. Oh, Jesus is his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, how I love that name. Oh, how I love that name. How I love the name of the Lord. Oh, how I love that name. I love the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, how I love that name. How I love that name. How I love the name of the Lord. How I love that name.